This week's guest has only been with us since the summer, but he's already a fan favourite. He's a London boy who grew up supporting Arsenal. He's represented St. Lucia at the Gold Cup, and his brother is a reality TV star, no less. It is, of course, Rico Hackett. Rico, pleasure to have you on the We Are Imps podcast.
Thank you very much.
Most important question first, who's got more Instagram followers, you or your brother?
Oh, definitely him, yeah, definitely.
We'll give him that one. I want to start with your backstory, Rico. What was it that made you want to be a footballer? And at what point did you believe that being a professional footballer was the avenue that you could successfully go down?
So I come from a very football-based family. My uncle played professional football straight after he went into coaching. He's had many roles as a coach in the first teams and youth teams. Obviously, my mum was close in and around that. So she always went to watch his games with my nan. Also, one of my cousins played professional football, played in the Premier League. So I come from a very football-based family. So it was something that was always on the TV as a kid, from what I can remember. And even probably before I can remember. So I've always kind of grew up in and around it. And I just remember playing it from such a young age. It was always something. I even see videos back from when I was a kid and I always had a football in my hand. So yeah, it was just something that I just grew up being in love with.
Growing up in a football family, I guess, comes with a lot of advantages, but does that add a bit of pressure to you as well? Is there that sort of feeling that, oh, you know, everything's in my favour here. I've got to make it as such.
No, I never kind of felt that. I think I've always been quite a confident person from a young age. I always believed in myself. So yeah, no, I never really felt the pressure. Maybe probably my teens, early teens, I probably started to feel the pressure when I was in academies and my uncle would watch me and he was quite harsh on me. He probably didn't say that I played well till I was about 20. So yeah, probably around that time, maybe I felt probably a bit of pressure. But when I look back, it's all helped me to be the person and the player that I currently am at the minute.
Do you need that with regards to your uncle? You know, and there's, you mentioned it there, sort of the lack of compliments, maybe, if you like, because there's two ways to bring up a young footballer. There's one to boost them every week and say, what you've done there was fantastic. And then there's the flip side of that is, and I think I use maybe Thierry Henry as an example that's spoken about this in the past, that his father, I think he didn't give him one compliment throughout his whole career or something like that, but it still turned him into an incredible player. So do you think that aided your growth?
Yeah, definitely. I think at the time, you obviously don't realise that. And I think there's definitely a balance. I have a son now, so I kind of think about them things sometimes. And I think, yeah, it's definitely helped me when I think back to it now. At the time, I'd be going home to mum saying, oh, why doesn't my uncle, any time I played well or scored goals, probably didn't tell me that I played amazing. He'd always see the things that I need to improve on, which is something I've always taken. And now when we have chats about games and whatnot, when he comes to watch me, it's still the same, really. Obviously, he'd tell me when I've played well now, because I'm probably at an age and I'm mature enough to know and how to take it. So yeah, definitely I'd say it's helped me. And I think it's important in football to be able to take criticism and take learning from games and training and know how to judge yourself, really. So I think it's definitely a positive, yeah.
And how old's your son now?
Nearly three now.
And how has that changed your perspective, both as a professional footballer and just life in general?
Oh, massively. Definitely matured me. And I think a lot of players and people in football probably tell you the same thing. I think when your life off the pitch is a certain way, it definitely carries over to the pitch. So I think when you're, there's times in obviously everyone will have a point in their life where they might not be in the best of spaces off the pitch, but and that probably most of the time reflects on the pitch. And when things are going well off the pitch, a lot of the time it comes hand in hand. So maturing off the pitch definitely made me more mature in and around in the boys and on a football pitch.
You mentioned confidence before, and I want to ask you about that shortly, but how difficult is it to remain confident and to believe in yourself when you go through something like being released at was it 19 you were released from Dagenham? You know, you have to take stock, look in the mirror, and just keep backing yourself and keep trusting that it will turn out all right in the end?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that is probably not easy to carry with you 24/7. And I think it's normal to go through spells where you're not confident. But it all comes down to how much you believe, really. I think I've got a good support system around me. So when I'm low, I have people I can speak to. And I'd say I'm a very open person. And like I said, I've always believed in myself. So when times do go, not going well, and you might be down, I've got people around me to kind of make me understand and realize why it went wrong, and then to learn from it and keep believing.
But it's funny how life turns out, because in one sense, Dagenham don't deem you good enough, but then you go and sign a short-term contract with Charlton, which then turns into a season-long contract with Charlton. So you go from one club, and absolutely no disrespect to Dagenham, but there's a clear difference in size between Dagenham and Redbridge and Charlton Athletic. Yeah. So, as I said before, it is funny how these things turn out.
Yeah, definitely. I think at the time, my situation at Dagenham was probably a bit tricky and a bit different. So I was at Fulham before that, and my uncle was the academy manager at Dagenham, and I wasn't having the greatest times in football. I took time out. I wasn't really enjoying it, and he kind of brought me in there to get my enjoyment back into football. I did my scholarship there with him. He was a first team assistant coach at the time. He left. So in that period, it was kind of a bit a one where I probably backed myself to play high. I didn't get any opportunities in the first team at Dagenham. I didn't leave there or get released from there thinking, I wasn't down about it. It was probably for the best. And I've always backed myself to go away and get myself a club. Unfortunately enough, I was lucky enough to have trials at different clubs, and Charlton ended up taking me on a short-term deal, which then turned out to be, I think I was there for 4 years.
Is that where you need your family around you, though? It sounds like you're pretty level-headed about the whole thing, and I guess that's the way to be. But the fact that it was in and around an area that you've grown up in, it's not like you've moved to the other end of the country or moved countries to get released, if you like. Actually, what's happened is, you know, I presume you're still living at home or something like that, or living with friends, perhaps. You know, you've got that support network to rely on, which is, I guess, so important for you.
Yeah, definitely. It's massive. And obviously not everyone has a luxury of that. But yeah, I've been lucky enough to have a really good support system, and definitely, like, it's helped me massively throughout my career and just in life. I think that's been a massive help for me.
And then you spent 3 years at Portsmouth, 60 appearances, I believe, which is the most that you've made at a club. And I guess 3 years is probably the longest spell that you've had at a club as well.
Yeah, there or Charlton probably.
Yeah. So what was that experience like for you? Because it's another big club, isn't it? Playing in front of big crowds, which comes with huge excitement, but a bit of pressure too.
Yeah. Very, very different, I'd say. I was at Bromley the season before. I just signed there after being released from Charlton. And I was playing really well. Managed to get, obviously, myself a bit of interest from league clubs. Bromley were in National League at the time. Portsmouth come up in January, and obviously there's something I was definitely not turning down. So I moved there, and I didn't play. I'd say I didn't play for a year when I first moved there. It was more just training. I was in that, well, I wasn't even in the squad. I think I made one appearance in a Checker Trade trophy game. And I didn't play for a very long time. So I went there, and the start was terrible for me personally. And then Danny Cowley took over at Pompey and kind of gave me a lifeline there, and really made my time there really enjoyable at the time that he was there. And I featured quite a bit. And yeah, playing there is with going there, the atmospheres every week is unbelievable. It's a tough place to play. When it's not going well, it's definitely a tough place to play. But when it's going well, it's unreal, and it's like having a 12th man. And yeah, I enjoyed my time there. Probably didn't go as I wanted it to, but yeah, no, I definitely can't fault it.
Danny Cowley, a man that obviously we know very well at Lincoln City. What sort of things did he say to you? You know, you said there that he essentially put his arm around you and and maybe gave you a boost that you needed at the time? What are some of those, you know, without going too much into it, I guess, conversations that take place when you're not feeling like everything is going completely well? And what are you looking for from a manager?
At that time, I felt like I was probably struggling because I started so well at Bromley, and that was probably my first full season in men's football. I was in and out of the first team at Charlton. So at that time, I just probably needed someone to believe in me. And like you said, put an arm around me and give me a bit of confidence, because I was definitely lacking that. I'd just been out on loan and got relegated with Southend from League Two. So yeah, it was a tough period. And I remember speaking to him. I remember getting a call from Danny in the summer. And he just said, listen, I know what you've got. I know what you're about. Come in the summer fresh and have a complete fresh start at Pompey and then do the pre-season and we'll go from there. And honestly, that was literally exactly what I, because all I wanted there was a chance, because I didn't have one. And he gave me that, gave me my confidence back. I went in pre-season, I felt really good mentally, physically. I worked hard in the off-season. And for me, when I come back to Portsmouth that pre-season, it was like I kind of had a massive point to prove, because I've been there. They paid money for me and I didn't have an opportunity to show what I could do. And he definitely gave me that. And we had a really good relationship throughout. I still speak to him often now. But yeah, he just gave me that confidence and belief.
Injuries are such a huge part of football, aren't they? And I was listening to an interview that you did, actually, it was probably 3 or 4 years ago now, but you said at the time, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts now, actually, but you said at the time that you couldn't really remember a period where you didn't play with at least some sort of little injury, some sort of little niggle, you know, that you had to deal with. So, you know, is that still the case now? And I think one of the interesting things about that interview, you said that you were, you had almost a, quote me if I'm wrong here, but something like a hard man mentality, in the sense that you would just get on with it every time. It was, okay, the calf's playing up a little bit, I'm still going to play. That's just how things are. Is that the right way to be, or have you changed your philosophy on that?
Yeah, I probably have a little bit of a different outlook of it. Still the same. I don't think any footballer, I think you'd be very lucky to play week in, week out and not have some sort of, I don't think anyone plays at 100%. There's always something a lot of the time, and a lot of the time you can play for it. And I've definitely been through periods of probably not feeling myself, and maybe I should just step aside for maybe a week or two and get stuff right. But yes, it's not as easy as I said. Now I probably have a different outlook, because it's now a really short career. I probably realize that more than when I was maybe 19 or 20. And sometimes it's best to step out and get stuff right. But fitness wise, I've been all right for the last year or two. Obviously I've picked up my injury this season, which was a long-term one. But in terms of like niggles and little things like that, and missing a game or two, like I feel like with experience, you kind of know your body a lot more. So you know what to look for. And when something does come up, you know whether it's something that you should step aside for and get right, or something you can play through.
That self-awareness is key, isn't it? And we see, probably now more so than ever, footballers actually thinking about their careers in the long term a little bit more, as opposed to just got to get through to Saturday, just got to get through to Tuesday, just got to play through it, and who knows what will happen. Do you actually take stock a little bit more now, and how important is it? Are there any sort of things you do outside of work, outside of the club, you know, to keep your mind and body in the right place?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's very important that when you're away from the training ground, you do things properly in terms of your recovery, what you eat, how you look after yourself, the amount of sleep you get, and it's all important. And when you're younger, you probably get away with it more, because that's just how it is. But when you start getting a little bit older, and you probably get your real men's body, because maybe when you're 20, you're 21, you've not done your whole growth, and you don't know your body particularly well. But I suppose with age and with experience, you learn about yourself and your body and what works for you a lot more. So you tend to take a lot more care.
So you joined us in the summer. You know, we mentioned before your period at Portsmouth there, 3 years or so, 60 appearances. When the interest comes in, obviously, I presume you have an agent that contacts you to let you know which clubs are looking at you. if you take yourself back to maybe May, June, July time, what's going through your mind when the opportunity to move comes? Because it's another League One club, isn't it? And I'm sure we can all admit here at Lincoln, we're not quite as big as Portsmouth in terms of size and fan base, etc. But you're still coming into a club in the same division. So what is the thinking required to say, okay, I think it's time to move on?
For me, I'd say I felt like that at my last club for a while. Kind of felt like my time was up there. I felt like I wasn't feeling how I probably should have felt in the position that I was in. I still had another year and an option on my deal, I remember at Pompey. But yeah, I just felt like I needed to be playing regularly. I wanted to feel a bit more a part of the team and play more of a role than I was. And I felt like I could offer a lot more than I was given the opportunity to probably offer. So yeah, I just think it was just a right time for me to move on. And I'd had conversations in the summer with Jez, and it was clear that I was able to move on if it worked for both parties. And I remember speaking to Jez and the last manager at the time, and it just aligned with everything that I was looking for. So it was an opportunity that I definitely wasn't going to turn down. I wanted to come somewhere. I wanted to play. I wanted somewhere to feel like home. And I've played here many times, and I've always got a nice feel for Lincoln. And as well, I've obviously got a good relationship with Danny, and Danny's always spoke highly of the club. I played with Sean Raggett and Joe Morrell at Pompey, and even before speaking to Lincoln, they've always said good stuff about it. So from the outside, it was always something that interested me. And when it actually come up, it kind of just fit everything that I probably stand with and the sort of person I am. And yeah, just appealed to me massively.
And in terms of being in and around the city as well, what have you made of that? I know you said there before that this is a place that you've played a good few times, but I guess as a city, you've not had the option before moving here to actually have a look around Lincoln and meet some of the people and the fans as well. What has that experience been like?
Yeah,
for
it's been really nice. It's different because I've always been London based, or I think the furthest I've been before is Pompey, but it's still kind of the same, similar to where I've been in the past. So yeah, it's different, and it's again, it suits me. I like it. I like where I'm living. I live close. Yes, everything about it really worked for me at the minute. It just works. Yeah,
good stuff on the pitch as well. You seem to be really enjoying it, and you seem to have taken a real sort of active leadership role. And I mean this in the absolute nicest possible way, but you seem to have a real sense of confidence. And I know it's really difficult to get the balance right between confidence and arrogance, but you seem to strike the balance for that quite well, whether it's in the manner of the celebrations from some of the goals you've scored, or just the way you carry yourself. Is there a reason behind that? Does that just come with time?
I'd say probably more now, where we've got quite a young group and I'm one of the senior players in the group. Which is different. I've always been one of the younger players in the group. Last season, I was probably the youngest in the group at Pompey. And coming in here, I'd say my injury helped a lot, because when you step away, you kind of see things differently. So yeah, I'd say definitely this season, I feel like I've kind of taken it upon myself, and I feel like kind of needed to be done for the team for me to be more of a leader. And like I said, we got a lot of young players, and I think you probably don't realize until you step away that they kind of look up to you in a certain way. So yeah, I think being one of the older players in a young group has definitely made me have to change in that aspect and become more of a leader. So yeah, I'd definitely say that's the main reason.
And the fans love you already. I know I mentioned it at the top of the podcast that you're a fan favourite already, but it seemingly is true. Have you felt that relationship, that connection with them, you know, in the short time, I guess, that you've been here? And not to mention that you've had a period out.
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely feel that. The club's got a real family vibe to it. I think it's a very tight and close-knit club and community. And like I said, yeah, that's just kind of how I like things to do. That's where I know I operate best. And yeah, the fans have been amazing. You probably surprised me in terms of the fans and the fan base, the amount we take to away games and the noise every Saturday. Yes, it's I'm really enjoying it. And yeah, the fans have been really good to me so far.
And speaking of the fans, one of the fan channels that I don't know if you've had a chance to have a read of the blog or see them online, but is Stacey West blog, which is run by Gary Hutchinson. They were talking about you a few weeks ago, and the footballer that cropped up when talking about in comparison to you, do you know who it was?
No.
It was Jude Bellingham.
Bloody hell. I wish.
No pressure. Yeah. But, you know, other players that you look up to in terms of an inspiration, I know it's difficult because you're a little bit older than Jude, so it's not a player that you would have grown up looking at. But even so, you are a huge football fan. Are there players that you watch and say, there are elements to that player that I want to incorporate into my game?
I'd say mentality is a massive part, I think. So, for example, Jude Bellingham, I watch him and all I can see is just an animal of a mentality. Obviously, he's an unbelievable player and he's got bundles of ability, but I think what's taken him to that level that he's at now is his mentality. He's, I think he's 20 and he's playing at the best club in the world and he looks like he's a captain. He took on that role at Dortmund and he does it at England. So for him, yeah, watching him, I just see a monster of a mentality. Growing up, I always, my idol was Thierry Henry. He was someone I always looked up to. So yeah, definitely look at players and you want to incorporate little things they do and little behaviours and tendencies they have into your game. And that's something I've definitely done, yeah.
And what about your position then? And I know you've said before that you'll play wherever the manager, yeah. And we so often hear that, don't yeah. we, from players. You have to come out and say, I will play wherever the manager plays me, because I guess if one of those of you came out and said, well, I'm only playing in that position, it wouldn't go down well with fans or manager. But for you, is there a specific position that you either prefer to play or that you see yourself, you know, operate at your best? Because you are clearly a very versatile player, which has its good points, but yeah. I guess can be quite frustrating at times
yeah.
too.
Yeah. I'm definitely a winger. I think that's where I've had most of my success. It's probably where I feel like I'm most effective. But I'm also just as comfortable in wing back, 10, 8, striker. I've played all them positions at this level. So yeah, I'm comfortable playing in any of them positions. But for me, to probably, for my best position, I'd say is a wing, which is tough. And it's probably only taken me till I was about 24 to realize that. And yeah, it's not easy. But yeah, I think to get rhythm, it's tough because 1 minute you're playing here, 1 minute you're playing there, but it's ultimately being versatile is something the team will need at some point. And to have that available and be able to do it, I think is a massive help to a team. So like I said, wherever I'm playing, I'm always going to give 100%. That's just how I am. So yeah, that's just kind of how I look at it.
You enjoying playing under the new manager as well? Because so often we see when goals are going in at the moment that the team is celebrating as one, which is really nice to see from a fan's perspective. But, you know, that isn't just for show, I'm guessing. It does seem like there is a bit of a united feel there between everyone.
Yeah, definitely. We've definitely got a very, very close group, players and staff as well. I think everyone gets on. The training ground is small, so everyone has to be in each other's space. So there's not really times where you'd be in a room on your own. So you're always kind of communicating, you're always talking. This is definitely one of the closest groups I've been with and worked with. I'd say we are a very close-knit group, and the managers come in, probably played a big part in that. And yeah, like you said, you asked, I've definitely enjoyed playing under this manager so far. Obviously, it's been short for me, as I was injured when he come in. So I think I've been back a month or so now. And yeah, I'm enjoying every minute.
How mentally challenging is it when you've and you're essentially playing under three different managers in a short space of time. So obviously at one stage you've got Mark Kennedy and his tactics and what he wants of you. And then you've got Tom Shaw and his tactics and what he wants of you. And then Michael Scabala comes in as well. And obviously that's not their fault that that information is coming at you left, right and centre, but that's the way it's forwarded. Mentally, is that difficult to deal with?
No, not really. It's just part and parcel, really. I think for me, I've experienced a lot of different managers. And I'd say one of my strengths is taking on information. I can adapt quite quickly. I've moved so many places and clubs that just comes kind of natural to me. So for me personally, I don't find it challenging. I think every manager's got his ideas, own ideas, and how he wants things to be and how he wants things to work. And in football, things do change, and that's just how it is. So as a footballer, you have to be ready for whatever's around the corner. And I think it's a skill to have, and it's very useful. If you can adapt quickly, then ultimately you're only going to benefit from that. So,
and you're a big Arsenal fan, like I mentioned at the top as well. Are you one of those fans that watches that if the result doesn't go the way that you want to on the weekend, obviously you're busy playing yourself, but are you one of those that, you have to live with it, you take it to heart almost? There are that type of football fan, aren't there? Yeah. Or are you one of the
I'm one of them. Probably learned with Arsenal to try and deal with the disappointment. There's nothing worse than getting a bad result on a Saturday and then coming home and watching Arsenal get a bad result as well. So I'm probably not as emotionally attached as I was, but I watch every game that's on. I've been many times. I'm a very big Arsenal fan.
And Arsenal played at Fratton Park a few years ago as well. That was the FA Cup.
Yeah.
But were you injured at the time?
I was injured at the time, yeah.
Were you in and around the squad for that game?
Yeah, I was. So at the time I was injured. I think that season I hadn't played. I was injured all season that year. I think Danny come in at the end of that season, which I didn't feature a lot. But yeah, I was at the game. I was obviously in the...
What a good team that day as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
For you, was it a case of, were you a little bit starstruck, or because you're a footballer yourself and you're so often playing against big name players, was it just a semi-normal day at the office?
No, definitely not. No, I was definitely starstruck, yeah. You think you probably won't be, but then you see them and they're right next to you and they're next door to you. It's completely different. I remember I was actually in the stands that day. And I had a strong team out. And Ozil was about four rows next to me. So it was an experience. And I actually went up and asked for a picture. Yeah, so I was definitely a bit starstruck.
But you're an international footballer yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
St. Lucia, tell us about it then. Firstly, I guess I mentioned at the top of this that, London born, but why St. Lucia, I guess, is the obvious question, which I'm sure you'll give me a very obvious answer for, but still, just for those that don't know.
So my nan was born in St. Lucia. My uncle captained St. Lucia throughout his career. So it's always been something I wanted to do. And it's something that kind of I felt like I had to do. Not with any pressure, obviously I wanted to do it, but it was something that I know would make my family proud and my nan even prouder. She's a massive fan. She watches all the games that I play in. She comes to as many as she can. So that was kind of one where it was like, I want to give something to her to put a smile on her face, and I know it would make her happy. And also it's something that I was always been interested in doing. That's kind of the backstory behind it. And obviously I went last summer for the Gold Cup, which was unbelievable. I didn't expect it to be as good as it was. Getting a taste of it and scoring obviously has made me a lot more hungry to do well on that stage.
What an unbelievable experience that I guess not many players at this level, not many players at League One get the opportunity to represent their country as well, and for you to score for them as well. Give us a bit of an insight, a bit of a background into what the tournament, the Gold Cup, was like in general.
So we was in the qualifiers, which I didn't play in the qualifiers before that, but they managed to get to so it was one game, it was one a knockout two knockout games to get into the main competition. So we went 3 weeks before the actual Gold Cup started, the main, and we did prelims qualifiers to obviously qualify for the main. So we had to win one game and then you'd be put through the winners of the game next to you. And then if you win that, you would be into the group stages of the Gold Cup, which is surprising for me, surprising how big it was. The tournament was held in America and I was there for the group stages when they started and I went to watch one and the stadium was full, 60,000 seater. I can't remember what team it was. It wasn't because you got Mexico, USA. It wasn't any of the massive teams, but the stadium was full. Like there was no empty seats. And you just go and you realize how big these tournaments are. Because before I'd heard of the Gold Cup and I hadn't watched it. But honestly, I had no idea how big it was and how kind of, because you would look at playing for a country like St. Lucia, it's small, it's not massive, not a massive population. So you wouldn't expect kind of it to be in them sort of tournaments and the scale of it and how possible, like amazing things can come from that. So it was a massive eye opener and experiencing it has just given me a massive drive to want to do well for my country and really make a mark and kind of show how big them tournaments are.
Were you nervous walking out onto the pitch representing your country?
Yeah, I was, yeah. Massively nervous, yeah.
Are you one of those that gets nervous on a game or is it that you're so used to now playing, you know, English football, professional football, whatever? Is there a certain level of game that really brings those nerves out of you?
Yeah, definitely. I think a League One game, I've played quite a lot of them now, so I don't get nervous for them. But when it's a game that maybe you haven't experienced before, like I played last season, we had an FA Cup game at Spurs and honestly, I was walking out, I was so nervous, which I hadn't experienced before because that was probably the biggest game I've played in front of 60,000. So it was something I hadn't experienced before and so was the international side. There wasn't a lot of people there, qualifiers, so the stadium was probably empty, but it's something different. So the nerves were definitely there, yeah.
One of the questions that I sometimes ask players when I'm interviewing them elsewhere of this podcast or on it as well, and it's a really obvious one, but what has being a professional footballer actually like in terms of, you know, people will be watching this and so many people want to be one. Is it, I'll get straight to it. Is it all it's cracked up to be?
No, absolutely not. It's very hard, very challenging. There's definitely more lows than there is highs. And it's tough. Like you have to make so many sacrifices, but the rewards are more than worth it. There's no better feeling than winning a game on a Saturday or a Tuesday night. And there's just nothing that can match it. But yeah, it's very tough. Very tough, yeah.
Let's say there's a win on a Tuesday night. Maybe it's a long distance away and you're getting the coach back or whatever. When you eventually get home, are you one of those that drops off straight to sleep or is it insomnia for the rest of the night? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, Tuesday nights, not a lot of sleep. Saturdays, I'm not too bad. Tuesday nights is tough. But you do it for so long, you do it so many times that you just learn what works for you. Some people can go home and sleep straight away. Others don't sleep till 4 or 5 a.m. I'm probably 2, 3 a.m. And then Wednesday, it's a day off most of the time. So you kind of make up for it there. But honestly, it's just everyone's kind of each to their own. You just find what works for you.
And you're a bit of a gamer, aren't you? So yeah, does that help when you're massively, yeah, struggling to sleep? What games are we talking about and what sort of level are you?
FIFA. Yeah. FIFA, Call of Duty, my two games. I don't actually play anything else. And I'm having myself, yeah. I think I'm quite good.
What about Rico Hackett, the player on FIFA?
Oh, he's terrible.
Not good enough, no?
Not good enough.
Oh, we'll have to have a word with him. This is your chance. Have a word with EA Sports, see if they're watching.
Yeah, I've got to earn that myself, and I...
got to mention your brother as well.
Yeah.
Reality TV star, it's fair to say, isn't it? What's it like having a famous brother, but you could quite easily ask him what's it like having a professional footballer as a brother. Yeah. So, you know, the Hackett family have not done too badly, I guess.
Yeah. Annoying because you go out and do things and he's always getting stopped here and there. So obviously it's good, it's nice, but yeah, it can be annoying. But yeah, it's unreal to see him kind of flourish and he's still really young. So to see him at a young age kind of go down that path, he knows exactly what he wants to do, which is I'm sure everyone who has a brother or a sister kind of always younger, always wants them to do something or do well or know what they want to do with their life. And he's taken to it really well. And he's at the minute, he's doing really well and he's successful. He's busy. So yeah, it's really good.
And you were never tempted by the reality TV?
Oh, absolutely not. No, not for me. Not for me.
Look, you're obviously still young, but have you had a chance to have a think about, you know, what your future, where your future lies? Does it lie within the game, business, coaching?
Yeah, definitely. For me, it's football. I'm not really sure what my life would look like without it. Yeah, love the game. So for me, probably coaching is a big passion of mine. It's something I want to do towards the end of my career and after my career. So I'm very passionate about that. I probably have the same drive to do that than I do as being a footballer. So again, it's a path that my uncle took as well. So I've seen kind of how it is from the outside, and I also get a real good insight of it from him. So yeah, that's something I definitely want to do.
Listen, Rico, this is absolutely racing by. We've really appreciated having you on. Just a quick look ahead to the rest of the season then. As we record this, we're off the back of a great result away at Burton, one that you played a pivotal part in as well. What was that game like to play in? You really had to dig deep as well. Give us a bit of an insight into a few of the goals you've scored this year and then your look ahead to the season.
So I haven't had many this year. I think one...
But it wasn't
one,
bad.
Yeah, one was a memorable one, which won me goal in a month. So that's obviously one I won't forget. First one, Wickham's first home game, so that was nice. And then to get the winner at Burton was another one that I enjoyed, but probably not as many as I'd like. But there's still many games to go, so I don't doubt that I'll get a few more. And yeah, I think the Burton game was tough. We didn't start particularly well, and getting a red card when we did could have easily gone under because they probably had the upper hand at the time. And then to go 10 men, naturally you'd kind of get that sinking feeling. But we didn't. The boys stayed strong. We got into halftime really well. And in that period of the sending off and halftime, I think we did have a few spells where we looked dangerous going forward. So that kind of gave us confidence going into the second half. And when we got in the changing room, you look around and everyone looked confident that we could still go out and get a win, which is massive. I think you always get a feeling when you get in at halftime and you're looking around and some people are looking at the floor and umming and ahhing. But yeah, everyone was confident going out in the second half. The manager gave us a clear idea and game plan of what he wanted and what he thought would work. And I think we executed it really well and ultimately we got the win.
Well, Rico, we're loving having you at the club. Loved having you on the podcast as well. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, definitely. I've enjoyed it.
Good man. Well, appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.